Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, once again this week, kind of looking at how often we should update our estate plan. You talked about that a bit last week, and you want to expand on what that means this week, maybe kind of some of the life things that happen that might necessitate changing an estate plan, updating it, and living probate, a number of subjects. So take it away. Why don't you review a little bit of what we did last week?
Yeah, so where we were last week is that what I tried to establish is that oftentimes, and unfortunately, the legal industry has set up the document mentality. So what do I mean by that? I mean, when you get your documents, you think that you've done something good, and so you turn that area of your life off. In other words, I don't have to think about this anymore. And I think that that is a complete fallacy and actually a big danger. And so there are things that are always moving in the estate planning world, and we need to be aware of it. And there's things that are moving in our life, and so we need to be aware of those. Getting your documents, that's a great step. But making sure that they are consistently updated is also a necessity. It is as important as getting them and making that first step. So what we discussed last week was most estate planning firms don't have a program of relationships. So they don't reach out. They don't have a very systematic way of bringing people back in and communicating with their clients. I'm very proud that we do. We have a system to where every 3 years, every estate document is going to be updated and redone. Now, some people may go on, is that really necessary? Oh, yeah, we'll get into that this show. It really is necessary. So I'll give you examples of why. And then also last week, we talked about that the financial institutions really want your documents updated every 3 to 5 years because they want to feel secure that if you have a life emergency and someone else is going to manage your finances, they want the security that they can listen to that person. And a 10, 15, 20-year-old document is not security to them. They want something that is only a couple years old. So I said that we went to banks and I asked banks, how old do you want a power of attorney to be to feel secure? And they said no more than 3 years old. Mm. So here are banks asking for documents to be redone every 3 years. That's where I came up with my program, every 3 years. So the financial institutions are asking for it. But the attorney world has unfortunately said, just contact me if you need me. And that just doesn't work. Mm. So I want to uncover a little bit more. And then actually I left one last word off that I finished the show with last week, which is, hey, I believe that it is a spiritual principle that we need to be proactive in our life. The more proactive we are in our Christianity, then the greater ability we have to resist the enemy. And we need to be a light of the world, not just in spiritual things, but in practical things as well. So as a body of Christ, we should be the most prepared financially to take care of our family. And so we need to step up to the plate and be an example to the world that says, this is how you do it well. This is how you do it right. And so I call the body of Christ to let's take that responsibility seriously in being a representative of our mighty God. So because he is a God of order. He doesn't get caught off by surprise. He is not one who takes his duties and slacks with them. And so if we're to emulate his goodness and his presence and who he is, then we likewise need to take those proactive stances. Mm. So that's a brief review of where we've been. But this show, we want to kind of go where we haven't gone yet, which is probably a little bit about, well, what are some of the things we need to be looking for?
Yeah, what kinds of things do necessitate updating an estate plan?
Well, there are some big ones that we should be aware of that we feel internally, gosh, I should really do something. So when we're younger, number one is when we start families or if we get married. So a lot of times, young adults who are in that family mode and creation mode, God bless them, that they need to begin to think about estate planning as soon as you have that child, and actually before. We should be taking care of our spouses and our family. We need to have some strong life insurance. If we do not have life insurance through work, we need to make sure that we financially take care of our family. And in that, we need to make sure that we have strong documents that clearly lay out that our spouse and our family are to be taken care of in a certain way. Specifically with little ones, we need to make sure that if something were to happen to us, that we don't allow families pitted against each other with who is going to raise children and do other things. Now, statistically, that doesn't happen too often, but I've seen it, and it is not fun. So even if you're in your 20s and 30s, you need an estate plan as well. What are other times? Well, if we go from family and we build, now all of a sudden in your 40s and 50s, you look at your bank account, and for many of us who have been faithful at our jobs, we look down and we go, oh my gosh, how did I get that account? That actually looks like something. So sometimes when our finances begin to build, or we purchased a home and we remained in it and we haven't refinanced the heck out of it, and we build some equity. So then all of a sudden, we look at that asset and we go, okay, I've got a couple $100,000 here, a couple hundred here. We've got money over there. And it looks like my finances are now going to dictate I should really have a conversation. We move on along the time frame and we look at retirement. That is probably the biggest trigger of people doing estate planning. Number one, they've built their finances. Number two, they all of a sudden are starting to feel a little more of their mortality. They're in their 60s and 70s. Not that you have to feel your mortality in your 60s and 70s. That's not what I'm saying. However, it seems to be a little bit of a human nature thing that we start feeling a little bit more vulnerable. We start having friends who pass away, and we start seeing now parents are gone, and there's a lot of things that have triggered us. So we start doing and thinking about estate planning, losing a loved one. So when we lose family members, that could be another great trigger. Another situation where you have to start thinking about doing estate planning is not just marriage, but if you get divorced. So if you get divorced, specifically if you've done estate planning in the past, we need to make sure that an ex-spouse is no longer on those documents. Family attorneys, I've noticed that they may not take you through the whole process or be thinking about adjusting your beneficiary designations and other things, because their job is to actually walk you through the process of being divorced, not the aftermath of it. And so therefore, estate planners would be far more in tune oftentimes with making sure that your assets are blending with your current circumstance and your new life circumstances that you had. If you lose a spouse at a younger age, unfortunately, I've had many friends pass away in their 40s. It stinks, but that leaves a young family and it leaves a young new spouse. Well, what if that young spouse finds a new someone? Would that necessitate, now that we have a blended family, that you get estate planning? Oh my goodness. If you are in a blended family, if your children are getting remarried and they are in a blended family, I am going to tell you, the worst, most difficult estate plans that are laid at my feet are the ones with blended families. So if you are in a blended family situation, no condemnation, but please get some estate planning done. If you die without estate planning, it is a legal pickle. And you don't want your surviving spouse, specifically if you've been married for another 20, 30 years and the divorce happened long ago. The law does not work exactly as you think it might sometimes. And so you need estate planning if you are in a blended family.
So you could be divorced for 20, 30 years and there still could be obligations to a previous spouse? Or?
Well, not necessarily that.
Maybe kids.
Yeah, really where it lies is that I get divorced and I have my children, and then I find someone else who has children. So each of us have children from previous marriages, but we never have a child together. Mm. That's the circumstance. That's the pickle. Mm. And so that's the one we need to be aware of. I'm really not suggesting that if you've been divorced for 20 plus years, that that keeps following you. There can be, specifically if you get divorced with a very young child, then there could be parenting right issues and other things. But it's really the blended families when they become a new family that is very difficult, and it presents many, many concerns in the estate planning realm that intuitively most people wouldn't think about. Mm. And so what it creates, the biggest pickle, is that it may create immediate rights that if I was married to someone who had children and I have children, so we come in and we blend our families, I die. Well, my spouse may have some rights, but my children may simultaneously have some rights. Well, that may have not been my intent. I may have wanted, because it had been a long, healthy second marriage, I may have wanted to make sure that new spouse was well taken care of. But, and now my children having rights intervenes against what I wanted. Or it could be the very opposite, which is I'm walking into a second marriage, and it's always been our understanding that if I die, that things are they're going to be remaining with my children. Okay. And so
that's kind of the Hollywood thing of the quote gold digger and things like that.
Maybe.
That kind of scenario.
Yeah, maybe. And so then my intent was that my kids receive a majority, and now my second spouse is getting a lot of it. Mm. I can tell you story after story to where, and as a matter of fact, listeners, you may have even heard this story to where I was in law school, so there was nothing I could do for this friend. But we were on vacation. We met with a friend, and his dad had just died. Well, dad had remarried. So, in other words, my friend's mom died 10 years ago. 3 years later, because men get married very quickly, so he got remarried after 3 years, and he never redid his estate plan. The long story short is that a judge interpreted his will to say his intent was to support his wife no matter what the name was, because if he never got his will done, his first wife's name was still in his will. Mm. And so the second spouse got everything. Now that may have
Why
been
did the first spouse get everything?
Second spouse.
Oh.
So the second spouse got everything. Oh. Meaning my friend never saw a penny from what his parents spent a lifetime earning. Now, that may have been the intent of this person, but the point is we don't know. So this is all about we need to redo estate plans. We need to be aware. Life changes and these events take place, and I've named many of them. We need to be aware. We need to be proactive, and we need to come back to the table. We can't let it go on for 10, 15, 20 years, which is the average. Mm. We need to be more proactive than that, because we need to make sure that we're setting up our family for as smooth of a transition as possible. So get your estate plan done. Relook at it, specifically if you're undergoing different changes. And when we come back from break, maybe we can talk more about some of these changes that people experience.
Okay. People are intrigued. They need to get their estate plan updated or looked at or started. How do they get in touch with you?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's upcoming educational opportunities. And there's ways to communicate with our firm. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week with Paul Grant. He is looking at situations that may necessitate changing your estate plan, updating your estate plan. Important to update it every 3 years is what Paul recommends with his approach. And we were talking about some of those scenarios, and I brought up the question, what happens if you die and your first wife is still on the plan?
Yeah, so she's alive.
She's
she
alive.
She survives you.
And, right, and you die. You had remarried.
Yeah.
So the new wife, was she? Is she?
Yeah, is she in trouble?
If it hadn't been updated?
So most courts are going to interpret that. As a matter of fact, there is law that says that when the divorce happens, that there's a presumption that that the first spouse, the divorced spouse, is no longer a beneficiary. But, you know, the longer a spouse remains on a life insurance policy never changed at work, or you have a life insurance policy and you forgot to change the beneficiary from spouse one to your kids or to your estate or to a new spouse, whatever the case may or may not be, then the longer that sits out there, I believe that that presumption gets worn down. In other words, you're allowing your first spouse to have a legal argument that says it was that person's intention that I was the beneficiary because, look, they never changed it. This is not just forgotten. This was intentionality. Mm. So as soon as we cross into intentionality, that's where people in black robes that I get to argue before make the final decision of what was the person's intention. But that's the problem. Now we're in court. And
we don't know your intention because you didn't update your estate plan.
Well, and that would be one side of it. And so, and look, if you're in court, the only person who wins is me because I charge a lot to go to court. The attorneys are the only ones. So it is so much cheaper. Okay. If you want to be frugal and you want to be a good steward with God's money, here's how you do it. Do your estate plan now. Update it now, because if there is a mess at the end of it, if someone challenges it, that's where things get expensive. Mm-hmm. If you think that any fee I charge is expensive, then just don't update anything. And we're going to find out what expensive really is. Mm-hmm. So it is the worst case scenario to be in court. It is always the worst case scenario. The only people that win are attorneys, and that's the unfortunate part about being in court. So so all of that can be fixed because, again, what I hope is that the estate planning attorney is going through all of your assets, and they will be more aware, and they will be able to capture whether a beneficiary or ownership issue has not been updated from an event that has transpired. So that is the call to action. Get things looked at. Get them updated. Now, here are three main time frames. Here's three stages that necessitate when an estate plan should be looked at. Number one, family issues. So do you have beneficiary issues that are going on? Was a healthy child now not healthy? Is a current beneficiary now all of a sudden starting to have substance abuse? If that's the case, I'm sorry, but do something in your estate plan, because if something happened to you, we don't want to write them a check. That would just be horrible. Is a child in a bad marriage? Do you not trust that child-in-law, so whether it's a daughter or son-in-law, does that create insecurity that if your child were to receive a part of your estate, that they would be manipulated by their spouse, that their spouse has has a spending issue and likes shoes and jewelry too much or likes motorcycles too much or whatever they like. I don't know. But so those are things on the family level that need to be addressed. They need to be consistently looked at. Look, the average beneficiary spends everything that they get within 2 years or less, and six of those months are probate. So within 12 to 18 months, most beneficiaries have spent every penny. I have stories I could tell you to where millions of dollars were spent in 2 years or less. It's mind-boggling. And so we need to do good estate planning to protect our family, not just because we want to get money to somebody. There are scenarios behind those scenes that we want to make sure that we address, and good counseling from an attorney will do that and will uncover those things that we need to make sure protect your family and that next generation. And so we've been told in Proverbs to prepare our estate for multiple generations. And so therefore we need to think generationally. So we don't, from a biblical standpoint, do we just want to simply give the money away? Or do we want to make sure that the vision that God has given us is attached to the estate plan so that those monies can continue to do God's work and continue to be a legacy long after you're gone? Mm-hmm. Your legacy does not end when you die. Your legacy continues. And so what does that legacy want to look like? Now, the second scenario is also if legal things change, but that's my job. The average individual is not watching whether or not Washington State or the federal law or anyone else. As a matter of fact, we just hear, chirping in the background that something happened in taxes. Well, my job is to remain in communication with my clients because I'm watching the law. And so therefore, there's another time when most people would never know if there's been a legal change that necessitates updating something. Well, I can tell you that it happens more often than what you would believe. And so, yes, family things change, financial things change, and the law changes. Mm. We need to have a document that is flexible and moves with these adjustments in life because life is not stagnant.
Tell me a little bit about what is living probate?
Yeah, and so living probate is one of these life adjustments, is one of these times that we can find ourselves not prepared. So it can happen in one of two ways. Living probate is talking about a time when you need help. So you become incapacitated, okay. You become disabled to a degree that you are unable to care for yourself. So number one, if you have no documents, you've never done estate planning, it may necessitate for us to get legal authority around you to go to court and get a judge's signature naming a guardian over you. Naming a conservator over you. So the guardian is who makes the decisions for healthcare and makes your life decisions. The conservator is someone who manages your money. They're sometimes the same. They don't have to be. They're not always the same. So now, remember what I just said about court? Is that cheap or expensive? That's expensive.
You have to set that up, yeah. Mm.
So it is cheaper to set up the plan so that we don't find ourselves without anything when you need it during your lifetime. Mm. Or if the document is too old and a financial institution determines we cannot operate with this document. Or many older documents don't have new tools and tricks in them. You know, the law constantly moves. And so a 20-year-old power of attorney does not address the same thing as what we face today. Mm. Is society different 20 years removed? Absolutely. Have finances changed? Oh my gosh, we do everything online now. We rarely get paper. Nowadays, specifically as we come out of this COVID stuff, now we don't even have to meet in person. We do everything through video. Mm. Yes. Things have changed, and financial institutions have been on a rampage of updating their user agreements and how they have relationships. And so if a 20-year-old power of attorney that never anticipated online accessibility then what do we do today to make sure that we gain online accessibility for our agent? Mm. So if that's not addressed, then if you are, the financial institution may say, I can't do this for you, but we want to do that. That's in your best interest. But if the power of attorney doesn't do it, then we're right back into court and there's our living probate again. We're unable to accomplish what we want to do on your behalf to protect you, to make sure that you're safe, to make sure your finances are being utilized for you and in a way that blends with your values. But the power of attorney restricts us from doing it, then we're off to court. And that's bad. So the solution is that, number one, we need to do estate planning. Less than half of U.S. citizens have an estate plan.
Anything, even just a will. Even Nothing. Just an online will.
Nothing. Mm. So less than half of the people in the U.S. have nothing. Adults, not children, adults. So that needs to be corrected. Less than a third of Americans have a financial power of attorney and a health care document. That needs to be corrected. But 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, if your documents are sitting in your drawer, they are stale. And I have to work so much harder to make a stale document accomplish the task that we want to accomplish. It's most of the time I can get to the right conclusion, but now I'm charging more and I don't like to do it. I actually really don't. I would rather have somebody come in and be proactive, make sure that we're ready. And that's my call. Let's do good estate planning. Let's show the world how it's supposed to be done. Let's step up to the plate, get things done for the first time, or get them reviewed and renewed, because that is going to best protect you.
Okay, people are intrigued. They want to update their estate plan. They maybe want to start their first estate plan. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us. And there's upcoming educational opportunities. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.